Blog Talk Radio.
I think
Radio.
The problem with most people is we forget where he brought us from. And some of us need to think about this. It's easy to praise God for what he's done. What you know he's done. But it's more powerful to praise him about the things you don't know he did that he did. Come on, touch somebody, tell him he's talking to you now. Because see, that car should have hit you. Don't make me come out there. I said that car should have hit you, but it didn't. A couple of months ago, I boarded a private Learjet and flew to Dallas, Texas with my father and several other men in this church, attorneys and lawyers, bankers, for a meeting. When I got there to the airport, they gave me the wrong plane. And I was upset because the plane I rented flew 15 miles faster than the plane they gave me. So I said, that's not the one I rented. I learned from Dr. Murdoch, get what you pay for. But sometimes God knows things that we don't know. Just sometimes. All the time. And we boarded that airplane and we went to Dallas and we came back. And the next week I was to board the airplane that I originally leased from them to go to New York. And they said to us, well, that plane is gone out, and you will not be able to use it. Several hours later, the news came over the television and said that Payne Stewart and several of his companions were in an airplane flying to Dallas, and it went away from the flight pattern, and they began to worry about it, and that plane, of course, eventually crashed, and they all perished in that plane. And I began to watch it, and I began to hear where the plane originally came from. And as we watched the news reports, and I called down to that particular company, it was the very plane we were supposed to be on at that company. And I just sat in my living room, and I just told God, I understand that death is an appointed time, but sometimes foolishness can get things into our lives that God never planned to happen. Amen. Because I think sometimes we blame everything on the devil when it's our ignorance that causes. You can't play in the rain at 20 degrees and curse the flu the next day that the devil put on your life. Can I get an amen? And I sat in my living room that day at my piano, and I just began to talk to God. And I just said this to him. Where would I be? You all know. I'm glad you see through eyes of love a hopeless case and empty place. If not for grace, where would I be? You all know. I'm glad you see through eyes of love a hopeless case at an empty place. If not for grace, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found, a hopeless case, an empty place. If not for grace, a hopeless place, an empty place, it's not for grace. How many can say that tonight? A hopeless case, an empty place. It's not for grace.
Breathe on me,
Holy Ghost power.
Holy on fire. Holy Ghost power. Some of you need to know that
yesterday's
gone. Say it again.
Yesterday's
gone. All of your problems.
Yesterday's gone.
Hold, I said that.
Yesterday's gone. Today I'm in need.
I'm gonna need you today.
Holy Ghost, yeah.
Say it again.
Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 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 Brother Deacon, we thank God for you being here with us this morning. We got a quick word from the Lord. The Lord gave me this morning because I didn't know who was going to preach this morning. So the Lord, I didn't study anything at all on last night. I was tired yesterday. And this morning early, laying in the bed about 6 o'clock. I tell you, if I look at my clock, my watch, about 6 o'clock, the Lord dropped this word in my spirit. And we are going to be talking today about protecting the sheep at all costs. Protecting the sheep at all costs. Hallelujah. And how many know that when you decide to, God has called you, the Lord has given you everything that you need, all the information that you need, not sometimes, but all the times he gave us the information that we need to protect the sheep. And it's not about us, because a lot of times as we begin to elevate in ministry, we think it's about us. We become proud and we become boastful. Hallelujah. And we become gossipers. But it's not about us. It's about him. So we want to go into this word. I want to get this word in, get it recorded so I can send it out to the nations. And Father God, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this morning, for waking us up, for clothing us in our right mind, to giving us the activities of our limbs. O God, we know that we could not be here this morning without you. Lord, you are all that we live in hope for, O God. God, you are the very source of our being, O God. The scripture said, because you live and move, we have our being. And, O God, I pray today, God, that you would infuse me with the anointing, O God, that destroy yokes, that remove burdens, O God, the anointing that heals, delivers, and restores, O God. I pray today, O God, that you will allow this word to come into my spirit, O God, as you showed me this morning, and God, let it begin to expand in me. O God, that as it flow out of my mouth, O God, that which I hear and that which I see, whoever hear it, O God, it would make a difference in their lives. And Father, we'll be so careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' holy name we pray. We are talking about protecting the sheep at all costs. And we want to, let's go into 1 Samuel. We were over in Samuel yesterday talking about David. So the Lord, this was the first scripture he dropped in me, and I went back and looked at it. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want to see where I got it, because I've been looking at so many Bibles this morning. While my honey was sleeping, I was looking at all these different Bibles to see which version feels good. So let's go here and look at the Logos Bible, and then we'll look at the Amplified, so on, the Logos, let me see here, Logos, and Jesus had mercy, Old Testament, let's go here, 1 Samuel, 17, hallelujah, Jesus, let's look at the Logos, we can look at the NIV and the Logos, let's start with the NIV, and here in 1 Samuel chapter 17, let's start at verse 32, and we're talking about protecting the sheep at all costs. The sheep belongs to God. I want you to first know that. And when Jesus was talking to Peter, we'll get to that scripture, I don't want to go ahead of myself. He was referring to the people, not the literal sheep that you have in the valley. But he was talking about the people that Peter would have to minister to, that he would have to feed them with the word of God. But here in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32, David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep.
when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock. And I went after him, struck it, and rescued a sheep from his mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its ear, struck it, and killed it. Verse 36 says, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. And verse 37 says, the Lord who delivered me from the paws of the lion and the paws of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go, the Lord be with you. Go, the Lord be with you. What I like about that is that David put the Lord first in all that he was saying, even in taking care of his own father's sheep, his father, his earthly father's sheep, that the heavenly father was protecting him. Hallelujah. Am I talking to anybody today? Well, here we see that David was trusting in God, the same God that has given him victory before when he had an encounter with a lion and a bear. And the lion and the bear, they both tried to take the sheep. But David was a keeper of the sheep. He was a shepherd. He was a shepherd boy. He was a shepherd and he was a boy. And he kept his father's sheep and he protected his father's sheep. Now Jesus has given us sheep here on earth. This is his sheep. He is the father. And we are the shepherd boys and shepherd girls. And we are supposed to take care of these sheep. We are supposed to make sure that the sheep have the right food, the right water, the right meal. Sometimes we find out that today that folk are concerned about the type of food that they give to the sheep. They're trying to give the sheep something that makes them look good, not to give the sheep the nourishment that they need to continue. Am I talking to anybody? Because I'm just talking this morning. You see, we have to search the Word of God to give the people the word that God wants them to have, not what we want them to have. Because we want to find a word. Most of us are teaching and preaching word that we want to make us look good, make us feel good, you know. But it's not about us feeling good. It's about what God wants them to have. I didn't have this word last night. Here in the Logos Bible, the Bible says in verse 32, 1 Samuel chapter 17, let's go up to verse 31. Now the words which David had spoken were heard, and they reported them to Saul. And he summoned him. David said to Saul, do not let anyone's heart fail concerning him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine. Now David was talking by the men. Now we know that David was not there to fight. He came to bring food to his brothers and to some of the soldiers. His father, Jesse, had given him some raisins and some bread to take to the men and to his brothers. But while David was there, David overheard what was going on. And then David began to talk concerning what he heard. And the men heard David's speech, and they went and tell Saul, this young man over here, he's willing to go up against the Philistines on the behalf of the people. You see, they were like sheep to David. David was seeing the way he was seeing his father's sheep. He was seeing the men out there on the field as God's sheep. And that he had this mindset as a shepherd. He had the mindset of a shepherd that he had to protect the sheep because they were God's sheep. You see, a lot of times we forget of having that mindset. You know, we don't get that mindset of doing what God called us to do because we are still caught up in flesh. This is why there's such a great division in the house of the Lord, in the church building. There's such a great division because we're not focusing on taking care of the sheep. We're not willing to go through discouragement. We're not willing to go through torment. We're not willing to go through name calling and all the stuff that happens. We are not willing to go through these things because of the sheep. But David was willing to go to the extreme, and this is what he said. He told Saul, he said, I was taking care of my father's sheep. You know, I was taking care of my father's sheep, and a lion and a bear came and took one of the sheep. He said, and I left the other sheep, and I went out to the lion and the bear. And I took the sheep out of the mouth, and then they came after me. He said, I grabbed him by his beard, and I killed him. I killed them both. And he said, I would go up against this Philistine, and I would kill him because he's just like a lamb and a bear to me. See, David was concerned about the sheep. The men out there in the battlefield was God's men. They were God's servants. They were God's sheep. This is the way David was seeing them. And we're talking about protecting the sheep at all costs. Protecting the sheep at all costs. And as a pastor, as a leader, you have to protect the sheep at all costs. You can't let everybody come and get up in the pulpit and preaching. You don't know what their lifestyle are because you hear somebody say, well, they preached down at Jonathan Church, and they sounded real well. They sounded good. They sang some good songs before they preach. Or they could even play the keyboard. But you don't know what their lifestyle are. So you can't let them come up in the pulpit and go up and then take the microphone and say they're preaching. You may be putting a defiled person up in the pulpit in God's holy place. But David said to Saul, see, here the man heard, the Bible said that, now the words which David had spoken were heard, and they reported them to Saul, to the king. The man heard David, because David had overheard the man talking about, oh, well, the man that killed this Philistine, Saul is going to give him one of his daughters, and he's going to make his family rich, and he's going to do it. And David heard all this stuff, so David would move with two things, that his father's house was going to be taken care of. He was going to be taken care of. He was going to have a wife, you know. He was going to not lack anything. And then also he would be eliminating this Philistine giant that is a cost in Israel, God's people, God's sheep. So David, he's excited. He's excited. He wants to go and destroy this man. But he's not going on his own. See, David, this is what I like about this story here. It says, Saul summons David. He said and called David. And David said to Saul, do not let anyone's heart fail concerning him, the Philistine, Goliath. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. But Saul said to David, you will not be able to go against this Philistine to fight with him because you are only a boy. He's talking to David because he don't see what David has. He's just looking at David's little frail statue. Whereas he has been a man of war since his childhood. And David said to Saul, your servant has been a shepherd of the flock for his father. If the lion or the bear would come and carry off a sheep from the group, I would go out after it and strike it down and rescue the sheep from its mouth. If it rose against me, I would grab it by its beard and strike it down and kill it. Your servant has struck down both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he defiled the battle line of the living God. And David said, Yahweh. David, we always go to God. From a little boy. But you see what he says. He said, and Yahweh, or God, who rescued me from the hand of the lion, from the hand of the lion, and from the hand of the bear, will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Then Saul said to David, go, and may Yahweh be with you. Go, and may God be with you. See, because David's known looking at Goliath, 9 feet something. And he sees Goliath out there. He know he can't contend with Goliath. He know not in his own strength he cannot. Yes, he got the sling and the stones and all, and he got his bow and he got all this stuff. But Saul tried to put all his armor on, and David didn't want that. David had not tested the armor. He had not tried that. He had not used the sword and carried his spear and carried his shield. No, he had just carried a stone and a sling. Hallelujah. But so David said, look, he said, no, how could I put this stuff on? He said, but the God I serve, he's protected me. He has helped me when I had an encounter with a lion and bear. And he has helped me with his fool Goliath. That is a cost in the army of God. Oh, let me tell you something. This is so good. Go to. At all costs, we have to feed the sheep. We have to take care of the sheep. We have to be willing to take care of the sheep. Now, let's go to another scripture. I want to bring that God gave me this morning. I didn't have this stuff last night. Because like I told you, I didn't study this stuff last night. I was hoping that somebody was going to preach today. But the Lord just showed me this thing. This morning, early, I was laying in the bed and I heard it in my spirit and my spirit so strong. He says, take care of the sheep at all costs. That's what he said. Take care of the sheep at all costs. Let us go to the book of Esther. The book of Esther. Ah, Jesus, we just thank you. See, you have to be willing. Folk don't want to die. They want to go to heaven, but they don't want to die. And you can't go to heaven until you die. You got to die first. And number one thing you have to do, you have to die to self. And nobody wants to die to self. Most people don't want to die to self. We still want to play church. We want to play around with the church while we're inside the house. Play around, doing as much to look good. We want to look good and fancy, and then we want to run around with a lot of gossiping and stuff. Gossiping by your fellow believers and fellow pastors and fellow leaders, you know. Gossiping all the time. There's too much gossiping in the church. I tell you the truth. It's too much gossiping. And God's not pleased. That's why I don't talk to a lot of people. I have a small amount of people that I socialize with. I don't do a lot of talking. Don't know a lot of talking. I just try to get into this word. And let's go. Let me go in my Bible here quick, fast, and hurry up. And pull up this. Let's see what book we got. Here we got this. Let's go into Amplify and pull up Esther. Jesus, have mercy. We have to take care of the sheep. The sheep is very essential. It's important because God has laid down his voice, his life for the sheep. He has given his life for the sheep. Let me see what I had here. Yeah, listen. Now, chapter 4 of Esther, the book of Esther. Now, when Mordecai learned all that was done, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes, and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud voice, a bitter cry. He came and stood before the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, wherever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing. And many lay in sackcloth and ashes. When Esther maids and her attendants came and told it to her, the queen was exceedingly grieved and distressed. She sent garments to clothe Mordecai with orders to take his sackcloth from off him, but he would not receive them. Then Esther called for Hatach, one of the servants, one of the king's attendants, whom he had appointed to attend her, and order him to go to Mordecai to learn what this was and why it was. So Hatach went out to Mordecai to the opening square of the city, which was in front of the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened to him and the exact sum of money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasury for the Jews to be destroyed. Mordecai also gave him a copy of the decree to destroy them that was given out of Shechem, that he might show it to Esther, explain it to her, and charge her to go to the king, make supplication to him, and plead with him for the lives of the, her people. These are the sheep, okay? How can a sailor, you're going to have to go to the king. You're going to have to go to the king. And you know that it's a difficult situation to go before the king if you have not been invited. And Hathach came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. And Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a message for Mordecai, saying, all the king's servants and the people of the king's province know that any person, be it man or woman, who shall go into the inner court to the king without being called shall be put to death. There is but one law to him, except him to whom the king shall hold out his golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come to the king for these 30 days. Can you imagine that the king did not have a relationship, an intimate relationship with his wife for 30 days? And she going to have to make a decision to go before the king for her people. You know what? It doesn't matter what it costs, but what you say, well, I can't go down to the building because this and that. We got churches that are being shut down. Now some churches are opening, but they're opening it with a kind of laws that you can only do so much or so little. So much or so little. Yeah, but the liquor stores are still fully open. Even with all the shutdown that we had, the liquor stores were fully open. The doors were strong, wide open. Hallelujah. And there was no limitation. I didn't see no limitation. People were going in and out of the liquor stores. But the church doors was closed. So the shepherds, the under-shepherds that God put here, couldn't really feed the sheep. So we had to go to the internet. The pastors had to go to the internet in order to get the word, get the meat, that the food that the people needed to them. So here, she let Mordecai know that he haven't seen the king for 30 days. Verse 12 says, and they told Mordecai what Esther said. Then Mordecai told them to return this answer to Esther. Do not flatter yourself that you shall escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. No. He began to send a message to Esther. Don't think that you said because you're in the king's palace, you're still a Jew. You're still a Jew in the king, and these people can turn on you at any time. You're still a Jew. I want you to know that that's what he was saying is that much. That's so much words he was saying to her. So as he said, look, for if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance shall arise for the Jews from Israel. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows but that you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this and for this very occasion. He said, Esther, maybe you was placed in this position. Maybe God has placed you in this position to be the intercessor for the Jews. Maybe this is the time that God has chosen for you to be at the right place at the right time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then Esther told them to give this answer to Mordecai. See, the messages are going back and forth from Esther to Mordecai, from Mordecai to Esther. She said, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. I also and my maids will fast as you do. Then I will go to the king. Though it is against the law, if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and did all that Esther had commanded him. See, we have to protect the sheep. at all costs. It doesn't matter. Esther was willing to die to give her life because it was a great possibility that if she had gone in death, that she did, that she could have lost her life. But guess what she did? David talked to God first before he went to fight Goliath. She had not only her maids, but all the people in the province of Shechem to fast, the Jews, to fast and pray and seek God for this appointment that she's making on her own, going before the king. Because she is willing to protect the sheep of God at all costs, even if it costs her. That's what she says. If I perish, I perish. I'm going to see the king. I'm going to see the king on behalf of the sheep of Israel. How much are we willing to do? You hear that the people coming up in the church, the young man that just get killed off, was just murdered, the young pastor, just got ordained as a pastor in North Carolina. And the same day, he proposed to his girlfriend, the baby mama. He was a black man who was having this fun, this relationship with this woman that he wouldn't marry to, and she got pregnant. But he was going after God. And now he got ordained as a pastor, he decided he's going to make it right. He's going to stop with the fornicating. And he's going to put a ring on her finger. And that same night, his life was taken away from him, pastor. He was trying to help the people in the neighborhood, all the gangbangers and dope pushers. He was trying to help them. That was his mindset, to help them, to stop them and show them that there's a better way. You didn't have to sell drugs, but you could give your life completely to Jesus. And the same people that he saw the car going back and forth, and he went outside to talk to them. Two men dressed with ski masks. Murders him. Just got ordained. Just proposed to his fiance. At what cost? At all costs, we have to be willing to protect the sheep. He was willing to give his life to reach some other sheep. He's going home to be with the Lord. Esther said, if I perish, I perish. I'm going to see the king. When she came before the king, chapter 5. On the third day of the fast, Esther put on her royal robe and stood in the royal or inner court of the king's palace opposite his throne room. The king was sitting on his throne facing the main entrance of the palace. And when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, she obtained favor in his sight. In other words, he didn't kill her. Esther has, the people has sought God on her behalf. They had united their faith with her faith and went before Yahweh in fasting and praying. A lot of times we are trying to do stuff, but we're not seeking God. We're not spending time with him in his presence. We got a lot to say about other people, but we're not spending time with God because we think we know everything about God. And no one knows all about God. Every chance that we get, we ought to spend some time in the Word. We ought to spend time in fasting and praying. Make times. However, look, this month I just got off a 21-day fast. Praise God. And it was difficult, but I made it. And I still find myself going days now, going days, not even thinking about a fast, but going days that not eating anything from morning till evening. I just find myself in there because that's where my body is. I don't have that craving for eating every minute. But here, she found favor. Now Esther just got off a fast. The king didn't know she was fasting. Only the Jewish people knew that she was fasting because they were fasting along with her. And Esther dressed up in the royal robe. She's got the right apparel to come before the king. She's the queen, and she's dressed in the royal attire. And she's in the inner court opposite the throne room. And the king was sitting on his throne facing the main entrance. That means anybody that come down that corridor could lose their life if they were not invited. And she's coming down this corridor to see the king, the very one that could take her life. But she is interceding. She's going to be interceding for her people. Do you hear me today? The sheep of Israel, God's sheep. We don't want to turn the plate over. Been in the church for several years, and not one time did I hear the pastor call a fast. Not one time. You're never too old to fast or too young to fast. You can fast at any age. You just got to know what you're doing. Even if you're taking medication, you've got to know what you're doing. Got to use common sense. You know, if you're on blood thinners and all that stuff, you've got to use common sense. Hallelujah. But you should be fasting. This is how we get power. This is how we get understanding. This is how we get clarity of what God is saying, by fasting and praying. Now, it don't make you no greater than somebody else. It don't make you more important than somebody because you fast and pray. But it gives you a clear understanding of what God is saying, and it makes you an open vessel to receive from the Lord. No. Let me hear you say something. Let me get back in here. Oh, my God. Esther is dressed up. And she went, and verse 2 says, and when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, she appeared favor in his sight. And he held out to her the golden scepter that was in his hand. That means she was safe. He wasn't going to kill her. So Esther drew near and touched the tip of the scepter. Then the king said to her, what will you have, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given you, even to the half of the kingdom. Oh, my God. You see what God will do for you when you really seek his face? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. When we seek the face of God, instead of going in there every time, God, I want this. God, give me this. God, give me this. Lord, I want this. Lord, I want that. Like, God don't know that you need a husband. God don't know you're looking for a wife. God knows everything. He sits high and sees low. But all we do is want to thank God instead of going to just tell God how beautiful he is, how awesome he is, that he's the sovereign God, the God that sits high and sees low. Begin to praise God instead of begging him every 5 minutes. Now Esther's going in there. He said, they're interceding. And God give Esther supernatural favor. Listen to what the king says. So look, make your request. Let your request be known. So I'll give you even to a half of the kingdom. All of what I got, I'll give you half of it. Listen to what the king is saying to her. You think it just happened because he just liked her, because she was beautiful? No, because she had talked to God. They had an encounter in prayer with God and fasting. And God touched the heart of the king. The Bible said the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He turns it whithersoever he chooses to. Listen to what he says. Oh, my God. She says, Esther said, if it seems good to the king, let the king and Haman is a troublemaker. Haman is a troublemaker. Come this day to the dinner that I have prepared for the king. See what Esther using wisdom. She's not saying anything to the king right there. You understand? She's not saying anything to the king about what had unfolded. How Haman is trying to mess up the Jews. He hate Mordecai. He hate Mordecai and he disliked the Jews. She's not telling him nothing about that. But she knows he invited the king. Get the king on her territory. Get the king on her ground. You understand? Sometimes you got to get the people on your playground so you can really and release your balls and release your bats and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? You can really take up the put up the mats and the plates that they do for baseball. You know, you can set everything in order, bring them to your field. Hallelujah. So she set the banquet. Hallelujah. I mean, this thing is getting real good. The Lord gives it. And I said, Lord, I just kept hearing the scriptures. Just kept hearing the scriptures. And I wasn't writing anything down. And I said, just hearing the stuff. And I said, okay, Lord. Then I said, well, I'm going to program these in my computer. Because I mean, it was coming so fast. I couldn't get it. I couldn't write. So then I had a pen. And inside the pen dropped out. I don't know where it gone. I refilled. Dropped out the pen. Ought to leave me with a spring. But here. My God, look, here. Oh, Jesus, have mercy. Verse 6 says, so the king and Haman came to the dinner that Esther had prepared. Listen. And during the serving of wine, the king said to Esther, what is your petition? It shall be granted you. And what is your request? Even to the half, here you go again, even to the half of the kingdom, it shall be performed. The king wants to know, he knows, look, you know what your wife is going through. You know where your husband's dealing with some stuff. You know where your best friend is going through some stuff. You all spend some time together talking and playing and all. You know. Now, she don't have to tell me everything. I know because I've been with her a long time. Hallelujah. So the king said, I know there's something bothering Esther. There's something. I know I said perform. She had made dinner for me before, but she had the maids made up banquet and stuff. But this is the king, but this is different. I could hear the king. I said, the king saying in the spirit realm, this is different. This is different. I got to know something is bothering my baby. Something is bothering my honey. I want to know. So Esther, yeah, sir, again the second time. And Esther said, my petition and my request is this. If I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come tomorrow to the dinner that I shall prepare for them. And I will do tomorrow as the king has said. She said, look, if I just get the king, but see, Haman must be there. See how I tell the king, because Haman is wicked. He has wicked plans for the sheep. He has wicked plans for the children of Israel. I want him to be present. Haman is excited because he thinks that Esther really wants him there. He thinks that he really, I mean, with a happy heart. No, she don't have no happy heart for him because he wants to kill her people. No. Watch here. Haman went away that day joyful and elated in heart. But when he saw Mordecai at the king's gate, refusing to stand up and show fear before him, he was filled with wrath against Mordecai. Listen to him. This Mordecai, this Jewish man he sees again. He just left the presence of what she's considered Mordecai's daughter, but it's not his daughter. It's just me. And here we go. Haman, now, this whole vengeance against the Jews is stirred up in his heart again. Vengeance does not belong to us. It belongs to God. But we allow people to come into us and stir us up to be at war with each other. I see it all the time. Every few years it happens. Glory to God. Now, Esther is setting the trap. She's setting the trap for this rat. Do you hear me? Esther is setting the trap for this rat. This rat. Glory to God. Haman went home. He was excited. He gone home calling all his family members and begin to tell him that how all this stuff is being set up for him. They're trying to honor him. This is it. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home. There he sent and called for his friends and Zeresh, his wife. Verse 11 says, and Haman encountered and Haman recounted to them the glory of his riches. Now he is all puffed up and said, because he thinks it's about him. He thinks that the dinner party is really about him, that they're really putting on his, that the Esther really putting it off for him, but he don't realize it's putting off for his life. Because once the information's gone out, let me not go too far. It would cause his life. But here, he recounted to them, he told them the story of the glory of his riches, the abundance of his 10 sons, all the things in which the king had promoted him, and how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. Excuse me. Haman added, yes, and today Queen Esther did not let any man come with the king to the dinner she had prepared but myself. And tomorrow also I am invited by her together with the king. Listen to him. He's boasting. He's all excited, but he don't know what's hanging in the balance. Yet all this benefit mean nothing as long as I see Mordecai, the Jew, sitting at the king's gate. This Mordecai is too much to him. This Mordecai is a thorn. Mordecai is a thorn in Haman's vision. This Sarah, his wife, and all his friends said to him, let a gallows be made, 50 cubits, 75 feet high, and in the morning speak to the king that Mordecai may be hanged on it. Then you go in and marry with the king to the dinner. And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. Let me tell you something. When you come against God's people, you're making the greatest mistake. I mean, the people that love God and serve God and worship God and honor God. You know, on that night, the king could not sleep. And he ordered that the book of memorable deeds, the Chronicles, be brought, and that they were read before the king. And it was found written there how Mordecai had told Bigtana, and Teres, two of the king's attendants who guarded the door, who had sought to lay hands on the king's Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor or distinction has been given Mordecai for this? Then the king's servant who ministered to him said, nothing has been done for him. Oh, my God. You see the king going back and forth. God would cause when the people passed in the pain, God would cause some records to be pulled up on your behalf. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, Esther has sought, she has put all of this in motion by having the people fasting and praying and seeking God. And now God is releasing not only favor for her, but favor for Mordecai. And the king go and pull up his old book. The king pull up his old book of records. I see. Notice Mordecai's name and day, what Mordecai did, has saved his life. Give him information of what these other fake workers was planning to do to him. And now he said, what has been done for Mordecai for all that he has done? The great thing he had done for the king and the servant said, nothing has been done for this for Mordecai. Nothing, your honor. No, nothing, king, your king. And the king said, who is in the court? The king asked a question. Now Haman had just come into the outer court of the king's palace to ask the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows he had prepared for him. And the king's servant said to him, behold, Haman is standing in the court. And the king said, let him come. So Haman came in, and the king said to him, what shall be done to the man whom the king delight to honor? Now Haman said to himself, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than to me? And Haman said to the king, for the man whom the king delights to honor. Let royal apparel be brought with the king, which the king has worn, and the horse which the king has ridden, and a royal crown be set on his head. And let the apparel and the horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes. Let him array the man whom the king delight to honor and conduct him on horseback through the open square of the city and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delight to honor. Oh, then the king said to Haman, make haste and take the apparel and the horse as you have said, and so do so to Mordecai the Jew, who sits at the king's gate. Leave out nothing that you have spoken. Oh, my God. Now, Mordecai is really enraged now. Then Haman, not Mordecai, Haman. He is enraged because Mordecai, he know the very man that he hate, the very Jewish man that he hate, he got to go bless. He got to go present with all of this honorable stuff from the king. Royal stuff he got to take down to Mordecai. Oh, my God. Haman took the apparel and the horse and conducted Mordecai on horseback to the open square of the city, proclaiming before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delight to honor. And then Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hastened to his house, mourning and having his head covered. Ah, Haman becomes to Sirs, his wife, and all his friends, everything that had happened to him. Then his wise men and Sirs, his wife, said to him, if Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of the offspring of the Jews, you cannot prevail against him, but shall surely fall before him. While they were yet talking with him, the king's attendants came and hastily brought Haman to the dinner that Esther had prepared. Let's go to chapter 7. We got to see this thing. So the king and Haman came to dine with Esther the queen. And the king said again to Esther on the second day, which when wine was being served, what is your petition? This is the third time he's asking his wife the same thing. What is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted. And what is your request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. This is the third time he said he's going to give a half. He would give a half of his kingdom. Then Queen Esther said, if I have found favor, third time she's saying this, I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. She fighting for the sheep. Hallelujah. It's not about her. It's really about the sheep. Because her uncle tell her, look, you may be saved in the house of the king, but your father's house and the Jewish people can be destroyed. So but God will send another deliverer. He told her that. And she was moved with compassion. After she heard them words, she said, look, I'm going to have all the people go on a fast before I go before the king. But she's in the family. The king is just loving on her. Favor is coming from everywhere from the king. The king is breathing favor. He can't stop asking her about what she needs him to do. What does she need from him? He's want to give her half of his kingdom. Three times, hallelujah, because she has talked to God. She had a conversation. She had an encounter with Jehovah in fasting and praying. Oh, my God. I love this. I don't know about you all, but I love this. Queen Esther, verse 4. For we are sold, I am a people, to be destroyed, slain, and wiped off out of existence. But if we have been sold for bond men and bond women, I would have held my tongue. For our affliction is not to be compared with the damage this will do to the king. The king, Ahasuerus, said to Queen Esther, who is he and who and where is he who dared presume in his heart to do that? I asked and said, an adversary and an enemy, even this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and queen. And the king arose from the feast in his wrath and went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Queen Esther, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. When the king returned from the feast in his wrath and went into the palace garden, and Haman stood up to make requests for his life to Queen Esther, for he saw that there was evil determined against him in the king, by the king. When the king returned out of the palace garden into the palace of the drinking of wine, Haman was fallen upon the couch where Esther was. Then said the king, will he even forcibly assault the queen in my presence, in my own palace? As the king spoke the words, the servants covered Haman's face. Then said Habanah, one of the attendants serving the king, behold, the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman has made for Mordecai, whose warning said the king, stands at the house of Haman. And the king said, hang him on it. Hang him on it. The very trap that he set for them, for Mordecai. The very trap, the very gallows that he set to kill this man without a cause. God allow him to be hanged on it. So they hang Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's wrath was pacified. The king now was ready to sit back and relax. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. Well, let's go to John. John 21. John, the Gospel of John. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you, it's nothing like the Word of God. When you study the Word of God and let the Word of God just touch you, it just do something to you. The Gospel of John, that's Jeremiah. Go to John. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Gospel of St. John. See if I got in this Bible, in the Message. 23. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Gospel of John. Where's going the messages out there? The NIV there. Brothers are not coming up. They're not acting right. Hallelujah. Excuse me. John chapter 21, verse 15. You know the text. John chapter 21. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? He asked Peter a very simple question. Do you truly love me more than these? He's probably pointing at all the other disciples. And he said, do you really truly love me more than all of these? And Peter exclaimed to him, "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Verse 16, again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John," or Jonah, "do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep. Take care of my sheep, or feed my sheep." Now, in verse 17, the third time, how many times did Ahasuerus ask Esther about half of his kingdom? Three times she responded. Three times Jesus asked Peter, "Do he love more than these?" The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" Jesus said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." If we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to have to be willing to do what Jesus said to do. A lot of times we're more thinking about ourselves than the sheep. Jesus promised to take care of us. He promised never to leave us or forsake us. But we have to be willing to feed the sheep. Go to Psalm 23. And I saw this morning in a Bible that blessed my heart. The Globe Bible. Well, I think it was the Globe Bible. Let's see. Hallelujah, Jesus. I have so many Bibles here. In the Message. A David Psalm. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. This is how it says it in the Message Bible. It calls it a David Psalm. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I am not afraid. When you walk beside me, Shepherd Crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my blessings. Listen to what he's saying. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessings. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God. For the rest of my life. The King James Version says, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. See, he is the shepherd that takes care of the sheep. It doesn't matter what the circumstances. It doesn't matter how the wind, how the weather is. It doesn't matter if there's earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunamis. He takes care of the sheep. He shelters the sheep. The Bible says he's a strong tower. The righteous run into them and they are safe. Hallelujah. The Bible calls him a buckler, a shield. Hallelujah. So he's our protector. He makes sure that he takes care of the sheep. He sets an example for us. What must we do? We must do like he did. We must take care of the sheep. We must protect the sheep at all costs. We must let the sheep know that they're in good hands, because God has placed them in our hands. They are not with us for us to misuse them. That's where the sheep is not to be done. A lot of times folks find themselves misusing the sheep, abusing the sheep for their own lucre, what they can get from the sheep. It shouldn't be that way. Let's go over to Jeremiah 23, and then we'll close out here. Jeremiah 23. If it's just a quick word the Lord gave us. Teach it straight from the book. I don't have any notes. Straight from the book. Straight from the book. Jeremiah 23. Glory to God. Straight from the book. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jeremiah chapter 23. Let's go there. Hallelujah, Jesus. In this book, the Bible, he sets an indictment to the shepherds that destroyed the sheep. He said, woe to the shepherd, verse 1. I'm going to work a little bit this here in the Logos Bible. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep or the flock of my pasture, declares God. Therefore, thus says Yahweh, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people. You yourself have scattered my flock, and you have driven them away, and you do not attend to them. See, it's important. You have people within the house. I know, right here in Boston. I'm not talking about your city or the next person's city. You have to figure your city for yourself. But right here in Boston, where people were sick in the house of the Lord, and the chief shepherds didn't go to the hospital and look for them, didn't call them and see how they were doing. But they say, I'm the shepherd. This is my church. This is my this and my that. No, no, if that's your church, then check on the people. Check on the sheep. Check on them. Call them. See how they're doing. Send out some laborers. If you can't get out, you can't drive out. Send out some armor bearers. Send out some deacons, some deaconesses, and say, go check on so-and-so. Let them know I'm concerned. And everything is so easy now. You can send a text message. You can send an email. If you can't do it, have somebody do it. Send an email. I get emails every day from Africa and India. Folks send me to pray for them. They say, you my apostle. My apostle, I need you to pray for me. Pray for this body. Pray for that body. That don't mean they don't have pastors back there, but they call me the apostle. So I have to pray for them. And I pray for them. Sometimes I call on the messenger, where we can do a video call. And we do a video chat where I pray with them right on the computer screen. So I can see their face and they can see my face. Sometimes I write a text. I write the prayer in a text message. This is what you got to do. You got to take care of the sheep. He says, this is powerful. Jeremiah is talking. And you see when you begin to stand up for Christ, that folk will want to kill you. Folk will want to take your life. Listen, listen, listen. Here, he told Jeremiah. Jeremiah said to them, you yourselves have scattered my flock, and you have driven them away, and you do not attend to them. Look, I will punish you for the evil of your deeds, declares the Lord. Then I myself will gather together the remnant of my flock from all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their grazing place, and they will be fruitful, and they will become numerous or multiply, and I will raise up over them shepherds that they will shepherd them, and they will shepherd them. And they will no longer fear, and they will not be despair, and they will not be missing, declare Yahweh. This is what God says. Because Jeremiah had reached out, and he testified, he declared what God says, people begin to come against him. An oracle restoration, looking ahead to the future reign of the Messiah, who will live up to the idea of the Davidic kingship. This oracle concludes the series of prophecies against the house of David with a hopeful outlook. While the last few kings have deserved the judgment they received, Yahweh will raise up a righteous ruler and bring Judah back from exile. Now we see here in this chapter 23. Let's go to chapter 26 of Jeremiah. Chapter 26 of Jeremiah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you that when we begin to get into the Word of God, it just blesses you to see how God continue to manifest grace and mercy to us as His people. You know, God manifests grace to us that we don't really deserve. I mean, 'cause we do our own thing. You know, we do our own thing, and we forget about all that we have. We get excited before we get there, and then we say, "Oh God, I do all the things that you want me to do, Lord. All you require, I would do, Lord." But then we forget that we promised God that we're gonna do these things, but we get into our own little world of doing what we want to do. Here in the book of Jeremiah, it says, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, the word came to from the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak to all the cities of Judah that come to worship in the house of the Lord all the words that I command you to speak to them. No. The word is coming to Jeremiah from the Lord. And the Lord is telling Jeremiah, don't compromise. This is what he's saying. Don't compromise. Don't water down the word that I'm giving you. He said, I want you to speak all the words, not some. not a part of it, but all the word that I'm speaking to you, Jeremiah, my prophet, my son, I want you to speak to the people because the people are doing crazy stuff. The people have gone astray. They're doing things to suffice their own flesh. I want you to speak this word to them. Do not hold back a word, the Lord says. It may be they will listen and even turn from his evil way, that I may relent of the disaster that I intend to do to them. The Lord said he might stop, might not do what he planned to do if we would just speak the truth. You got people today that are out there living a promiscuous lifestyle, and the church is saying, well, it's okay. They're not troubling nobody. They're loving on each other. What kind of love? Because we don't want to tell them the truth about God's love. And we say, well, they're not troubling nobody. Let them just go on and do their own stuff. Well, no, 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 no. You're not supposed to preach at them. Tell them about the love of Christ. That there's no sin too great or too small that Christ cannot forgive. And he's willing to forgive. He died for sin. He died for the sinner. To set the sinner free of the sin. But we don't want to tell them that. Because then everybody come against the church is homophobic. The church is homophobic. No. Why would you lie people in your neighborhood die and go to hell? Because you don't want to speak the truth. Even in your church. You got folk up in there that live in a miserable lifestyle. But don't preach at them. Preach against sin. If you preach against sin, if we preach against sin, the word of God will convict them like it convict me. When I was in the world living a lifestyle of fornication, adultery, and all that stuff, and gambling and drugging and stuff, I was convicted. Because the preacher was saying that if I continue living the life that I was living, that I was going to hell. He said that I didn't have a chance unless I repent and turn from it, not continue sinning. He said, because people said, well, I repent today. I repent. Well, I cried before the pastor. I cried in the presence of the bishop, in the presence of the apostle. I cried. I cried. Can't you say that I repent? And then the same night, that Mardi Gras, that carnival, that the big party, that the family smoke oak party, big cacao, drinking and smoking and cussing and everything, shacking up. They repent yesterday. But today they want to fit in. And God has not called us to fit in. He called us to stand up. That's why he said, come up from among them and be separated and touch not the unclean thing. He said, I will receive you to himself. And we shall be his sons and daughters, and he shall be our God Almighty, the Father. But you don't want to. And Jeremiah began to speak this word. He says, God will relent. And you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me to walk in my law that I have set before you, excuse me, and to listen to the words of my servant, the prophets, whom I send to you urgently, urgently, though you have not listened, then I will make this house like Shiloh. And I will make the city a curse for all nations of the earth. Not only did Shiloh get destroyed, but he said, I'm going to make your city a curse. Ain't nobody going to come there. We don't want to hear. We don't want to hear the truth. And folk is coming down with all types of disease. And then we want to blame God. Well, how can a loving God let this happen? God's not letting this stuff happen. We are doing it to ourselves. The people in this earth realm is doing it to themselves because they're living a lifestyle that's contrary to this book. This book don't lie. Everything is unfolding. All the plagues is happening. As far as you look around, there's something that's coming. There's something that's coming. Another thing is coming. Another thing is happening. The priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words. And in the house, they heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. And when Jeremiah had finished speaking, all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, you shall die. See, when you speak the truth, when you're speaking the truth, folk will separate themselves from you. They don't want to be with you because you're not a yes person. You're a God person. You're one that giving your life to God. You have made a sacrifice. You have made a living sacrifice of who you are to God because he made a living sacrifice for you on the cross for me at Calvary. Jesus did this. So now we are living for him. Glory to God. It's not about how many people come on the line. Deacon Fraser said that. It's not about how many people come on the line. People are looking for 20, 30, 40 people. You don't need 40 people. He said, wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he'll be in the midst. You just got to do your message. Get your message on recorder, pray, close, and go home. That's what you do. People all over the world are working for this word. I wasn't coming on the line today. I wasn't going to come on today. God had something to do. And I said, you know what? The Holy Spirit says, he got me this morning. But I wouldn't come in. I tell the truth. I wouldn't come on the line. I got to call up some other people to get the other people to come on the line and bring a word, a fresh word. A lot of things is happening. So let's just go and go. No. Here. They say they want to put Jeremiah to death because he spoke the word of God. When you speak the truth, folk will come against you. Folk will talk behind your back, laugh in your face, and talk behind your back when you're speaking the truth. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without inhabitants? And all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. They want to put the man of God to death because he speaks the truth. What did they put Jesus to death for? The truth. What did they put Peter and the other apostles to death for? The truth. When you live the truth and speak the truth, people will put you to death. They'll come again. Even your best friend, Judas, right there betrayed him. They will put you to death. They'll come against you. But you have to continue living and speaking the truth. Not only speaking the truth, God live the truth. You know what convict me every day? The word of God. When I go to the house, man, I can hear that word ringing in my eye. I just purchased a ticket last week for Louisiana. I'll be in New Orleans on the 17th of next month. I'm going to spend about a week. Spend two Sundays in Louisiana. I'm going to spend two Sundays there. Visit my friends. Time is short. We got to spend enough time with each other, serving God and glorifying God. Because time is short. The Savior's coming back soon, quicker than quick. I'm telling you. Look at the world. They got guns now, that laser guns now that can shoot down a plane, a laser. They don't have to shoot out no rocket, laser that can knock people, can blow up tanks and destroy, just melt tanks, laser guns. I was reading that stuff the other day. I said, my God, the Bible is so plain. Man going to destroy himself. Man spend more time trying to develop and invent stuff that going to destroy other men and women and children than trying to invent things that cause people to live more holy. You ever seen that? They spend billions of dollars when we got billions of people in the earth that are dying for starvation, and they're putting one plane, the America just built a plane there, some supersonic plane they just built for the army. It costs something like $150 billion. One plane, $150 billion. And they say the world is scared of this plane. And they got another ship, one aircraft carrier to build, I think, was, I don't know, $280-something billion. They ain't got no money to feed the poor people. People are hungry, dying for starvation on the earth, but they're building stuff to destroy mankind. And then they want to blame God. Here, these people, these priests, these people that were supposed to stand with Jeremiah by in faith for God's word, they are dining with the crowd to kill him. When the officials of Judah heard these things. They came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and took their seats in the entry of the new gate of the house of the Lord. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and to all the people, this man deserves the sentence of death because he has prophesied against the city, and as you have heard with your own ears. Now they laid the complaint on the table before the kings, before the officials, that Jeremiah had preached about the Lord. He had ministered God's word, not his word, God's word, because the Bible said the word came from the Lord. So he ministered God's word. He didn't try to infiltrate, putting anything into the word. He put it, that's what God said. God said, make it plain. Write the vision, make it plain. Whoever here would get, read it and run with it. We got to make this thing so plain. Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city, all the words you have heard. Jeremiah says, look, let me tell you, you all are coming against me, but it's not me. You're trying to put me to death right now, but I didn't speak my words. The words that I spoke came directly from the Lord. He gave this to me in my spirit to give to you, because the life that you are living is contrary. It does not please God. The life that you're living doesn't give glory to God. This is what Jeremiah says. Now, therefore, mend your ways and your deeds. Stop doing the things that you've been doing. Stop speaking the way you've been speaking. Talking about people. Always got the backbiting, the lying, the cheating. You talk with people in the face, you smile in the face, and behind their back, you stab them in their back. But you say you love them. You give them bread to eat, and then you set traps to kill them. It says, obey the voice of the Lord, your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hand. Jeremiah is willing to protect the sheep at all costs. He says, my life is in your hand. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and its inhabitants. For in truth, the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears. Jeremiah spoke that word. The Bible says, Jeremiah's life was spared. If you continue to read it, because others that knew the truth showed up, and they begin to speak on Jeremiah's behalf. See, when you know that you know that you know that you know that you're speaking what the Lord has given you, you don't have to be afraid of what people think or what people say. Folk are afraid. I said, I told my wife, yeah, I said, I'm not afraid of dying. No, I'm not afraid, and God knows the truth. But I'm going to use wisdom, because I got work to do for the Lord. You know? I got work to do for the Lord. We got work to do for the Lord. He says, then the officials and all the people, let's read this last piece of here, and then we'll stop. Then the officials and all the people said to the priests and the prophets. See, Jeremiah is not the only prophet on the scene. There's other prophets on the scene. I want you to know that. And some of them are coming against, they're coming against Jeremiah. Because everybody that's in the house of the Lord is not for the Lord. A lot of them are for themselves. They're not proclaiming the goodness of the Lord. They're not proclaiming the mercy and the grace of God. They're not proclaiming the truth of God's word. A lot of them are just watering down the word. That's why you can hear preachers and bishops that right here in the United States of America that are multimillionaires that go stand up with Oprah Winfrey and say that the church is evolving. And that, yes, we can live. We can live with homosexuals and lesbians in the church that have not repented, have not turned from their sinful way. It's just like bringing two dogs in the church and tell the dogs just go on and have sex in the church. And you're just watching the dogs stuck together and you're preaching the gospel because it's okay. It's the same thing. Because we don't want to preach the truth of God's word because we say, well, it don't sound right talking like that to the people. Well, don't you the book? Then he tells Jeremiah he would destroy all the people and the city would become desolate. Like Sodom and Gomorrah, that's a desolate place. Nothing grows. No water runs. It's desolate. It's dry. It's barren because of sin. And God said, before I destroy him, I'll give you a chance to get right. He's given us a chance here in America. And what we need to do is preach the gospel like fire. Jeremiah said, like fire shot up in my bone. We need to preach the gospel this kind of way. This watered down teaching and preaching that what people say they're doing. Preach this thing straight from the book. Plain. Simple. It don't lie. When the people come against it, they have to talk to God. They can't come and say, well, the apostles say this, the bishops say this, the evangelists say this. No, God's word comes word for word. I may use different Bibles, but it's the same word. It just made some of the Bibles a very plain, open plain, so that the common man that haven't been to college, haven't been to high school, would understand. He says, this man does not deserve the sentence of death. For he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. And certain of the elders of the land arose and spoke to all the assembly, assembled people, saying, Micah of Mareshef prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and said to all the people of Judah, thus says the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed as a field, Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins, and the mountain of the house a wooded height. The Jeremiah, king of Judah, and all Judah put him to death. Did he not fear the Lord and entreat the favor of the Lord? And did not the Lord relent of the disaster that he had pronounced against them? But we are about to bring great disaster upon ourselves. You watch and see America. I'm telling you, I love America. It's only one of the places I love more than America. And that's Barbados, the country I was born in. I love Canada too, but not like America. Because Canada's become a rebel country too. You know, they're standing for a lot of detestable things in the sight of the Lord. Men with women and women with women, and they're all for the abortion, they're all for the satanic rituals and the satanic worship. Canada, just like America. But God is saying that if the preachers, see, they're locking up preachers, see, they lock up preachers, couple of preachers, they lock up for preaching, opening the church for the COVID virus, they put them in jail in Canada. Well, God's saying, if we just preach this thing, preach it. And you start to cause people to become convicted by the word. He said, I'll hold back my hand of wrath from over the United States, over Canada, over Italy, over Africa, over India, over China, over Jerusalem. You got a lot of gay people going on in Jerusalem now too. I mean, it's worse. It never had them before, but now it's like you can't even comprehend. You know, this is how the world is going. They're calling right wrong and they're calling wrong right. This is what the world is doing. It says, there was another man, listen. There was another man who prophesied in the name of the Lord, Uriah, the son of Shemaiah. Kareah Zerim. That's a strange word. He prophesied against the city and against this land in words like those of Jeremiah. And when King Jehoiakim, with all his warriors and all the officials, heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Uriah heard of it, he was afraid and fled and escaped to Egypt. Then King Jehoiakim said to Egypt, certain men, Elnathan, the son of Ichbor, and others with him. And they took Uriah from Egypt and brought him to King Jehoiakim, who struck him down with the sword and dumped his dead body into the burial place of the common place. But the land of Ahikam, the son of Japhan, was with Jeremiah, so that he was not given over to the people to be put to death. Now see, the difference between these two people, these three prophets, two of them stand because they knew that God was truly speaking to them. And they were not afraid of dying. This other Uriah prophet, he was afraid. And he went to Egypt to hide, and the king sent for him and killed him. But when you're speaking and standing for the sheep of God, it doesn't matter what it costs. When you know you're standing for God, God is going to honor you. God is going to protect you. God is going to shield you. Even in the midst of this pandemic, he's going to protect us. Hallelujah. But if you're not standing, you're just going to be a target to fall. You're going to be a target to be attacked. You're going to be a target for death, for death. Death is a spirit. And if you're not standing for truth, that spirit's going to take you over you. It's going to take over you. But I thank God for this word. I thank God for, Father, I thank you for this word that you have given us on today. I pray, God, that we have sent out the word like a sickle. The word has gone forth, oh, my Father, my Savior, my Redeemer, my soon coming King. And Lord, I know that the word has touched hearts today. This word touched me this morning. But Father, it was so good when you gave it to me this morning. I didn't want to get up out of the bed. But when you gave me that word, I said, Lord, I'm going to put this in the computer. I still got time to put it in. I put it in the computer this morning. And the Lord just honored the word. Lord, this is instructional word for people to get it right, for us leaders to get it right and live the word that we are speaking, because so many people can articulate the word, and they have the Latin, they have the French, they have the Hebrew, they have the Greek. They can articulate the word, but to live the word is different. Then they get mad with you, get upset with you, don't want to fellowship with you, don't care for you that much. Don't come to the church anymore. You know, because, you know, it's not about speaking the word. Some of us can speak with fire, but you got to live with fire. Oh, my Father, my Savior, my soon coming King, I thank you for this word. I thank you for those few that you allow to come on today to hear this word, and for the many that would hear it when we post it. Lord, we send forth this word with the Spirit of Almighty God. And God, the angels are taking this word now into homes, even as it's gone forth before. But they will take it into homes, and as people hear this word, Lord, God, I'm asking you to convict them to live right, to live holy. Those that are committing all types of sin, God, let them know that we love them. We love them with the love of Christ. But let them know that we hate, we dislike, we do not want to communicate with sin at all, God, but we come against all forms of sin. And Father, we pray today, Lord, that you strengthen us in areas of our life that we are weak and the areas that we are strong. Lord, we pray that you make us stronger. Lord, now, I pray today, God, that you touch somebody's heart that don't know Jesus today. And God, give them an opportunity to really receive the word of God. In the book of Matthew, let's go to Matthew, and we run through.
Let's go to John, Matthew first. That's Matthew. In the book of Matthew, the Bible says, Jesus spake, Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, singular, and in the Son, singular, and in the Holy Ghost, singular, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. In the book of Mark, chapter 16, we'll follow through till we get where we want to go. Mark, chapter 16, the last chapter of the book, Jesus is speaking again, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every town, to every creature, excuse me. I'm hearing stuff. I'm reading. I'm looking at the word. I'm calling that a word. He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation, every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is the word of God. Now, in the book of John, chapter 3, excuse me, in the book of John, chapter 3, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him should be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought of God. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, the Bible says, Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. This is the same scripture explained here, explaining the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost that we read in Matthew chapter 28. Now Peter makes it plain for us, the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost is Jesus Christ. So he said to be baptized, repent and be baptized in the name of the Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, which is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that's the name, is Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord or God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation or crooked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostle doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. What's going on in my mind right now? Praise the Lord. Anyway, in Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other under name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we may be saved. Jesus' name is the only name. His only name. In verse 10 he says, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole.
Jesus, they were talking about the man that they healed at the gate called Beautiful. And the people started to praise Peter and John. But Peter moved the praise from them to Jesus, because the praise don't belong to us. You know, even when we pray for people, we go to the hospital and we pray for people, and the Holy Spirit comes in, the Spirit of the living God comes in, and he does the work that we can't do. He come in and heal the people. We can't take the exhortation. It doesn't belong to us. We give it back to God, to who it belongs to. It belongs to him. So we begin to turn the prayer back, the praise to him. Or let them know that it's because of God that we are able to praise. Because of God, we are able to lay hands on people. And because of him, people are healed. You know, he's the one that does the healing. We are just instruments of the Most High God. We carry the word of us, of him inside of us. We carry the spirit of him in us. And people are healed. So the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Romans 6 and 23, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible said that God, Romans chapter 5 and 8, God commanded in love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God extended love, his grace, his mercy to us while we were yet sinning. While I was in the crack house, while I was in the whorehouse, God was sending his son from heaven, from the throne in glory, into time to be the payment for the sin that I was committing. To be the payment for the sin that we were committing, all of us. Because the Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Christ was on the cross, coming to go to the cross. And he went before I was sinning, because he went to the cross before I came into this world. And he went to the cross and gave up his life. Nobody took it from him, because he said, I laid it down that I might take it up. And he gave up his life so that this time when I was sinning, my debt was already paid. It was already paid. All I had to do is repent and receive it. That's all I had to do. Once I repent, I received the gift of salvation. It was that simple. That simple. Hallelujah. So the Bible says that in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said he's the only way. These preachers today is going out preaching that there's many ways. There's other ways to God. These lying preachers will say anything to get people come to them and give them money. They will not tell the people the truth. And they will have to pay for it. Because the Bible says we have to give an account for every idle word that proceeds out of our mouth. Every idle word, we will have to give an account. So if we get up there preaching something because it sounds good or feel good, and people are going to say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, because we say something, we're wrong. You can't be wrong and right at the same time. We need to say what God says. There's only one way, and Jesus is the way. And when you accept that way as your Lord and your Savior, and you repent, you have access to the freedom that comes with knowing Jesus. Because, you know, you're not just salvation is freedom. It's redemption, you know. And when we accept him as Lord and Savior, and we submit to his way, because he's not only admitting that he is Lord, that he died on the cross, like Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11 says, that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus died and God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The scripture says, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. That's Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11. Now, because we say that, that's good. But it's more than that. See, now we got to live what we said. That's why it says not just preaching the word. Some people can preach the word and tell how much they love you. But then when it comes to loving you for real, because, see, I love you so much, I won't say a bad word about you. I can't. I don't know nothing bad about you. Because all I know is about the goodness of God that's in your heart that I see, that God allowed me to see. So that's all I can testify of. I can't agree with nobody and talk behind your back that you're bad or you're this or you're that. All I'm going to say is that you're good, because that's all I know. That's all that God allowed me to see. You know, I'm not a judge. I don't live in a judgmental mindset. You know, my mind is free to praise God, free to praise God and to love God's people. Because you can't praise God and hate God's people. You got to love God's people. So we thank God for you all that hear the prayers, the words of salvation. And we want to give you an opportunity right now. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we would like you to take this opportunity and invite Christ to come into your heart. Just invite him in your heart. Just take this opportunity right now and invite him in your heart. Just say with us today, say, Lord Jesus, I heard the word today and I'm convicted in my heart that I've been living a lifestyle that is not pleasing to you. But today, Lord, I want to get to know you. So today I am repenting even as the scriptures required us to repent. I heard the preacher say that I need to repent according to Acts 2 and 38. So Jesus, today I believe what was done at Calvary. I believe that you came here, God in the flesh, that you were accused of doing what you have not done, and you didn't say a mumbling word. But you knew that you had come to give your life so that we would have life. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for my life and giving me the right to the tree of life. I believe all according to the scriptures that you have done at Calvary, the hill called Golgotha, or the skull. And I thank you, Jesus, for shedding your precious blood and giving me the right to the tree of life. Today, the first day of the month, I denounce Satan and all of his agents and this world system. Jesus, I thank you for the shed blood of Calvary, the blood that washes whiter than snow. Today, Jesus, I'm asking you to accept me as part of your family. Children that believe in the righteousness of God, cleanse me according to 1 John 1 and 9. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Wash me in your blood and make me whole. Jesus, Son of the living God, I receive you now as my Savior, my Lord, and my soon coming King. Well, if you just repeat that uncommon prayer that I believe that I've just received by the Spirit, and you believe what you said out of your mouth, meditating on it, it is yours. Salvation is yours to live for Christ. No, you got to continue living now. You're not just going to rehearse that and say, well, I feel good. It's not a feel-good thing. Now we got to put this salvation into practice. You understand? We got to put it into practice. That means we start living a saved life. Get a Bible. One of your choice. I got many in my computer, and I got several here, maybe six or seven Bibles here. But get a Bible of your choice and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John so you can get a Bible understanding of the apostles and Jesus and all the prophets that we teach about. And then you may choose to start at Genesis. Well, go on, start at Genesis and come on down to Revelation. But ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you, because he's the greatest teacher that you will ever encounter. Ask the Holy Spirit to come on in and help you. And he will show you things in the book that you have not ever heard. He'll break up stuff to enlighten you and make you give you knowledge of the word. And then seek a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize. And you got to be very adamant about your salvation. You should, You're responsible for your salvation. That Paul said you have to work on your own salvation with fear and trembling. So I tell the pastor, preacher, say, look, I received the gift of salvation. I'm speaking in tongues or however you want to say it. And say, look, I'm studying my word, but I want to be baptized, and I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. Be specific. The pastor might say, well, you know, we don't baptize in Jesus' name. We don't baptize that way. We baptize in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You say, well, that's okay. I just still got to get myself together. I got to get my family and friends together and see, you know. And leave him with a good mind, because you never know, you might have to go back to that church sometime. You may even become a minister or lead in that church. But don't leave there with angle, you know, with a bad attitude. Don't do that, because we talk about, we preach about baptizing in Jesus' name. Don't get that attitude. Say, well, I don't want you to baptize me. No, don't get that mindset. Leave with a good attitude, because a good attitude would make a way for you. A good attitude would open doors for you. Understand? You can catch more flies with honey than you can catch it with vinegar. So leave with a good attitude. And before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, man, even your enemies. Why you say enemies are possible? You always say that. But you want your enemies, you want everybody to know, to witness this very great occasion. It's the greatest occasion in your life. I remember when I got baptized, man, I tell you, I got baptized in Jesus' name. I was sprinkled one time in the country, back in the Caribbean. I was sprinkled in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But when I came to America, I went down the water in Jesus' name. I tell you something, man, when I come up out that water, I took off. I never understand it. I didn't understand it, but I tell you, they tell me that they were the Holy Ghost. I took off, and I couldn't stop running. And I would cry, and I would laugh, and everything at the same time. Here, Pierce, here, you can't cry and laugh. I said, that's a joke, man. I was crying, I was laughing at the same time, running and crying and laughing. The man said, that man at the gate called Beautiful was walking and leaping and praising God. How can you walk and leap at the same time? Well, the Bible says he was walking and leaping and praising God. Well, you can laugh and cry at the same time. Then God touch you. And as you get yourself baptized, find a church that is preaching and teaching the truth. We always say the gospel, but you want to find a church that's preaching the truth from Genesis to Revelation. If you can't find it in the book, find another church. I'm just going to tell the truth. If you can't find it in the book with the preachers preaching from behind that pulpit, find another church. Find another group of believers, okay? It's not the building. Don't go to the building because it looks good. Don't go because they got nice carpet and nice velour chairs and all that stuff and nice pulpit and that nice sunken baptismal pool. You know, they got nice speakers and stuff. Don't go because of that stuff. Go because the word touches you deep down in your heart. That's why you go to the house. People are going to buildings because they got good choir. They got a good choir and they got good music, you know. The keyboard player is awesome. The drummer, man, he hit them skins. You can feel it in your soul. Don't go to church for that. Go to church for the word. It's the word that's going to convict you and me and going to convict us all the time, because we need that conviction in our hearts to keep us walking in the light. The Bible said the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We need that word. We need that word. So God bless all those that receive the gift of salvation and those that heard the word today. Come on in, Mother Grant. Come on in. I'm going to drink me some tonic water while you come on in. Come on in. God bless those.
The Lord, good morning to you, everybody on the line. God bless you, man
praise
of God.
Lord.
Praise God, thanking him. Waking me up this morning, Lord, giving me strength. Do the thing of his will. I hear Deacon. God bless you. My reading is faithfulness, God. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love thousands to a thousand generation of those who love him and keep his commandment. Deuteronomy 7 and 9. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your forefather, which he is confined to them by oath. Deuteronomy 4 and 31. He make his covenant forever, the word he command for a thousand generations. Psalms 105 and 8. God is not a man that he would lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then act and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Numbers 23 and 19. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we progress, for he who promised is faithful. Hebrews 10 and 23. If we are faithful, he will remain faithful. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful. For he cannot disown himself. 2 Peter 2 and 13. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you. 2 Peter 3 and 9. Praise be to the Lord, who has given rest to his people, Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promise he gives. 1 Kings 8:56. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name for his perfect faithfulness. You have done marvelous things planned long ago. Isaiah 25 and 1. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forgotten those who seek you. Psalms 9 and 10. All your words are true. All righteous law are eternal. Psalms 119 and 160. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. Psalms 119, 89 and 90. He who is glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind. 1 Samuel 15 and 29. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. I will not violate my covenant or alternate what my lips have altered. Psalms 89 and 34. Through the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Isaiah 54 and 10. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. Isaiah 46 and 11. And may God and his blessing to his word. Amen. God blessing to everybody on this line.
Amen, 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 Mother Grant. Thank you so much for that reading. Thank you. You're always faithful when you get a chance to come in and grace us with a little reading of your word. We thank God for you. We bless God for the reading. God is good. So,
my son is
thank
Chris.
You for that.
Yeah.
You said you what?
Keep my son in prayer, Sean, and he's going to get a little surgery, Hanya, on the 4th of this month. On the 4th, that's next week. Eh? That's this week coming, the 4th. Yeah.
Sean, that's Sean's father?
Shannon. No. Shannon, my son. You remember that one where they had to take his tonsil out? Must have been 2 years ago up in Georgia. I had a vent up there to him. This one here, he stays sick. So that's my baby boy. That's the one with the
little Mama's baby. Mama's baby, huh?
Yeah.
Father God, we thank you and praise your God for shining right now, Lord. We thank you, God, for your faithful God. And a merciful God. We thank you, Father God, because there's nothing too hard for you. And God, there's no distance between prayer. Lord, you said if we pray, oh God, and we believe, God, you will do it. Lord, I ask you today, God, to touch this situation. And Lord, even when Sean and go in, we ask that everything will fall in place, oh God. We pray that the doctors will have clean instruments, oh God, and their minds will be open and clear to do what needs to be done to perform the surgery eloquence, so Lord, we just thank you right now. And Lord, we thank you for the report. We thank you for the outcome in advance, Lord, that it's going to be done well and that he will have a speedy recovery, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we thank you right now. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, the line is open for anyone that wants to respond. If you feel led to respond, like folks have said, they got to be led, the line is open.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. My wife is doing much better. She's doing much better, so I feel good. I was tired yesterday because the night before, man, she had this stuff was going on with her throat and her chest. Couldn't understand what it was, but I prayed about it. You know, she don't like to take medicine. She don't like to take no herbs. So I got to pray. That's all I got to use.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
And I tell you that she slept well last night.
That's
I tell
good.
You, she slept so good. She slept till about, I think, after 9 o'clock this morning. So it was good, you know. And I sleep good. I slept good last night, so I thank God. You know, anytime, I don't know, but, you know, if you're a woman, so you know. But a man, if your wife is sick or not feeling good, you ain't going to feel good. And I guess the women are the same way too. If the husband not feeling good,
yeah.
But I know if she's not good, man, I'm in misery. You know, I'm in misery when I know she ain't feeling good, and then when I know I got the stuff here to make her feel better, man, the natural stuff. But then she don't want to use it. She didn't want to use it. She said, "Don't make her feel good. The medicine don't make her feel good, and then it make her sleep, and some make her head." This, Lord Jesus, that's okay. I'm going to pray. I'm using the other medicine I got there. I'm going to use the other medicine I got. I asked God to take care of her. God told the Lord, I said, you know, I can't live without her, but, you know, and I asked God to keep her as long as he can. Keep us together here as long as we can.
Amen. That's what you got to do.
So, bless God for her. She is my helpmeet. And I ain't looking for no other one. She is my helpmeet. I tell folk that all the time. I'm satisfied. I'm settled.
Yeah. That's the same here with me.
Line.
I am
Yeah, the line open. The line open now. The line is open. Anyone want to respond? We're going to go ahead. Deacon is on the line, but he's probably busy. I heard him a couple of times this morning with a hallelujah, but he is back to work.
Praise the Lord. You can't hear the old apple press. They loud. And even though he'll cars and truck, 18-wheeler trucks, they be passing by. Mm-hmm. Now you can't even hear anything. So anyway, we still here. We are here thanking God, praising the Lord. Still here. We're thanking God, praising the Lord. And thank God for what we have done on today. And thank God for this first day of June the 1st. 2021, we just thank God, first day of June, the sixth month of June, and he blessed us here, a new day and a new month, the sixth month of the year. We just thank God. We just thank God for what he's doing. And we just thank the Lord every time I always get a chance to come to the call, even though I sit back and listen. I didn't write the scriptures down. I missed all the scriptures. I was still busy. But one thing about it, it's one thing about when I come to this church land, I have to come and hear the word of God. I'm not going to miss the word. I got to come. This is the word of God regardless. Regardless of mm-hmm. I want to hear it, I can come hear the word of God. Now, whatever they do it, that's them. But for me, I'm worried. I'm focused on digging number one. I ain't focused on nobody but myself. Focused on me and the Lord. That's it. That's the only thing that I'm focused on. The word of God. That's it. I'd rather listen to the word of God to be dealing with something that ain't worth to be listening to that. It's one thing that I thought. I didn't get on now lines last night. I didn't get on last night. Nobody went on last night. I didn't get on now lines last night, but I went to Bishop Glenda Coleman last night. Went on her line last night. I was running a little late. Stayed on a little hour last night. Had a preacher on there talking with an accent on there last night.
He kind of reminds you of an apostle. It wasn't me, Deacon.
Yeah.
I think I probably will know, because I think as a lady would, I think she's from the same place Apostle from, because she used to be on Apostle line one time, but I hear nothing about her for a long time.
She used to be on his line.
She had her own line, but I ain't known her for a long time. Apostle knows who that is too. I could be on there about 2012. I've been on there since 2000. I've been on there a couple of while, but I ain't been on there much.
I remember
her line. I used to go there a long time ago, but I just don't remember it no more.
Yeah. I used to go by there. And that's when I first came to Block Talk. came to this church.
Yeah. Line.
When I first came here, I really couldn't talk then. But Mother Grant,
I like
you know.
Mother Edna, them, they wasn't even on last night. A lot of people, like it was the holiday, they ain't come on. I didn't hear, what's your name, Evangelist Brown? That's what she named?
Right.
She wasn't on last night.
No, she'd be on, I think she'd be on every, once or twice a month. She don't be on every Monday night. She missed the Monday.
Yeah,
be on
every
the
other Monday, yeah, but this Monday was the one, I think, for her to be on, but she wasn't on.
Yeah, and I know, Pastor Vic, she be on every Tuesday night. She's on every Tuesday night. Yeah, she's on every Tuesday. Pastor Vic, Lucius Vic. He comes to my line. He comes to Block Talk and preach. He come on there sometimes. She don't come on there much, but she come on there every night. Most times she be busy most of the time. I'd be on there every Tuesday myself. Just be on there. That's why I don't go bloodline like I used to. I just kind of toned it down pretty much. But I only line I go to this one and my own and Pastor Bix. That's the only line I go to. So I'm cutting all the rest of them out. I'd be on my own line, even though
people, they need to come and visit you too, you know. A lot of time just me and you and the other sister, nobody don't come to visit you. You visit people, they should come and visit you too.
Yes, ma'am, you are exactly right, yeah. Me and Pastor been announced it so many times, they don't come. You know, one thing I realized, Mother Grant, I realized you and Vanda always get on me a lot of time, and I always know when you.
I don't come Friday night. I try to come Saturday night, because some Saturday I like to go to Prophet Allen, you know. You've been to Prophet Allen for years. That's how I know, but Apostle line through Prophet Allen line.
Yes.
Yeah. And I try to visit there, but I notice now they get off early. When I get on there, they be closing out. I say, wow.
They be shut down early. Because now they be saying nothing.
Yeah,
they don't make no comment. when they through, make a comment, church announcement, they proud line announcement. Nobody don't make a comment. They gonna close that. They gonna shut down. That's like over here. You don't want to make no comment. Go ahead on and close the line. Shut it down. Cause look, you done what God called you to do. You done what you don't. Cause God is pleased. He took everything what has been pleased. He pleased with it. God is pleased. If we can't make no one come, we can't make nobody come. We can't make nobody come. I found that out. I learned that the hard way. You know, Mother, I used to be a people pleaser, but now let me tell you something. I don't people please no more. I realize don't do that no more. I ain't gonna be begging nobody to come, because it's one thing about it. You got to go. You got to go. As the songwriter said, I go by myself, and that's what the songwriter said. You know, we sang that song. I have to go by myself. If no one don't go, you got to go on your own. You got to go.
Well, me and Deacon, we had a good time Friday night.
We had a good time
Friday night with just me and Deacon. We had a good time.
You ready? You ready? You ready? Had a good time Friday night.
Good night. Good time.
Yeah, you know, I try to make it at least one night. My children, like I tell you, weekend is, you know, visiting time for my children, and my daughter came in from Atlanta, and they went on the barbecue on the beach. Just went back yesterday, so she called me, Mommy, and come, and I went today because I right here in my car. I can't even drive my car. The key The key broke. The key broke. The key come out of the jacket, and the car wouldn't start from last week. So my granddaughter gave me her car to use, and I got to take the car to the Mercedes place. My son, we went up there with the key for them to see if they could put it in jack, and no, say, but I got to bring the car. So I'm supposed to take the tow truck to carry the car down there today. But they said, I can't get it back till Thursday. So I leave it there because I'm going to do my babysitting tomorrow. You know, I go there twice a year for the lady got me to babysit. She's going on a cruise. So I'm going to do that tomorrow. So being as my daughter, granddaughter, let me use her car. So my car parked there. Then I could get the tow truck, take it down to the Mercedes place to make a key. They say they needed to do the key. So I've been stuck here, with the car, with my car. But I say since I'm going on the job and she let me call her car, so I say I'll just wait till I come back. Because if I drop it off, I can have to go pick it up. It's all the way there in Miami.
Yeah.
My son said he'll pay for it. Did Miami tell me $47 for the key, and Fort Lauderdale, which is closer to me, they say $75. My son said, "Mommy, I'll pay for it," but I still ain't going to Fort Lauderdale. I can take it down Miami because that's cheaper. Same Mercedes place.
Yeah, they'll take it to the cleaners. Them car dealership.
Because I tell them, I said, have the key. Yeah. All the key come out of the jacket. You know, I got the key. I give the man the key when I went for Lauderdale. I didn't take the car because I called Geico and they would tow the car. But they said, being this is the holiday, they have to put in for the key and take a day.
Yeah, those people start mess. I'll tell no lie. 2 years ago, this truck I got, they got these two little electrical lines that goes to the back window called the defogger, okay? Mm-hmm. Two little connections. It goes on the window. And, you know, I know some stuff, all right? So the man told one of them come off. So he says, I said, well, you should be interested. Put some liquid solder on there. You know, cause I know that's how to do it before. And he said, well, no, we can't do it. We had to put a new window in. Well, I didn't fuss with him because he said, well, the Cadillac will warranty the window for that. Well, I got the same problem again on the window, on the new window that they put in. Well, it's not on the warranty. It's not on the warranty. So if I take that car back, they're going to want to put a new window in. They're going to charge me $600 or $700 or maybe more than that, you know? And the insurance is not going to pay for it because the window is not broken. Well, I kept saying to my wife, I said, look, honey, you know, this liquid sorter, it comes in a tube that you should be able to get. So I went to the parts place dealership over here, and they don't have none at this the O'Reilly's. The girl didn't even know what I'm talking about. She'll know what I do. Because I always tell my wife, anything you need, you can find on the internet. So I get on my computer, I just put in a liquid sorter to fix a rear window defogger. Sure enough, about 7 different kinds comes up. And I wait. One place wants $40-something for it, $43 for it, for a little tube of stuff, okay? So I say, no, let me go to Amazon. Because most likely Amazon will have the same thing at cheaper. You know, I got it from Amazon. It was $25 or something. But anyhow, when I did, it only cost me like $18 because I had an $8 coupon.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, got me like $18, and it'd be here. They said it wasn't gonna come till next week. And I got an email this morning. They said it will be here tomorrow. And tomorrow I go outside there and fix my window because you know once it get cold, when it get cold, it's good now in summertime. But once it get cold, you need that back window clear. You know, you need that back window clear. And you press the button, that thing will clear up the window. And I'm in the house in the wintertime, and the house, I can see it because I got a
cameras and stuff outside that I could see the truck or see anybody pass in the driveway and take that. And I can start my truck from inside the house and put on everything, the fog and everything is set. It will clean the front windows, side windows, and the back window. I don't have to worry about that. All that ice will drop off. Without that, yeah. I'm in trouble. So I'll fix it tomorrow. Yeah, but them dealers, those dealers will nail you to death. I mean, that man told me, remember I told you all last year, he wanted to charge me like $3,800. So I got to put on new shocks, and I got to put the new electronic shocks up. Man, I got them shocks I got two of them with $600 and some, $700 we tore them. And I put them on myself.
You talk, I think of my brother, because my brother do work just like you. He just went back to New York because he was here doing things. But, you know, will that, you got to get that make. But I can't understand when we went to Fort Lauderdale, the man paid $75 for a key. And I called Miami because I was trying to get it to Miami, say $47. I called back again and tell the man, I said, I have a key. All I need is the jacket. He said, miss, we have to send out. You got to bring the car. We're going to make bun, send it back. And they ain't gonna come back till Thursday. So I say, you sure not Wednesday? He say, no, I can't promise you. He say, I can try, but I can't promise you because that's when I didn't have a car because I going to do the babysitting and I need transportation to get up there. After my granddaughter see you, I say, no, I can carry it today. But I still say I can wait till I come
home. They had the program. What they have to do, the reason why they charge that because the key don't cost no more than I would tell the price I keep would cost you about $5. But the reason why they charge you that money is they have to program the key.
Right, that's why the key won't work. They take glue and fix it, and it wouldn't start the car. It's programmed.
They got to program the key. See, I bought a computer. I bought a computer car. See, they was messing with me. And this computer I bought from Amazon, man, I can do it from in my house. I got a piece that plugs into underneath, that plugs into the computer in the car, and it plugs in it's like a beeper. It plugs underneath the car in the car underneath the dashboard, and then I got the computer in the house, and I can program my truck, everything on my truck. It tells me everything, anything go wrong, the engine, the water pump, the don't care what go on that truck. It will tell me on the computer. Tells me in this computer. Well, that's what they charge you a lot of money for, you know. When that, if it's something that I can't fix, the computer would tell me, and I go to the dealer. I say, well, look, this is what I want fixed. You don't even have to troubleshoot. I know what it is already. They charge you $139 for troubleshoot that car. $139 just to look at it. I tell you what, these people is outright mafia. They will nickel and dime you to death. So, I had a leak on the window and another Cadillac I had. And the guy says, you got to troubleshoot. Man, you put the hose and you see that I already told the light the seat is leaking. Well, we got to try the 120. I said, if you got to charge me that, I'll go on the internet and buy the seat myself and put it on myself. These people are sub mess, man. They want to make money off, and especially if they think you don't know what happened. The man, he said, Rev, they call me Rev. They said, Rev, he know about his truck, so don't mess with him. He knows his truck. He said, that Rev, he know about his truck. Girl, don't mess with him. He know his truck. Don't tell him nothing, because he know.
That's good.
Want to sell you stuff that you don't need. I need that. Don't do that. I'm going with that stuff. Deacon, you can go ahead and pray for everybody because nobody's responding. You can pray for everybody and then we'll close out. And I'll see you all on tomorrow if the Lord say the same. My grant, your son going to do well with his surgery. Tell him don't be afraid. Everything going to work well, okay?
Yes.
Tell him everything going to work well for his good.
Yeah.
Speedily.
Yeah.
Go ahead and pray, Deacon.
You hear anything from Apostle
Apostle Linda Watson and Bishop James?
No, I hear nothing from them. I know that as far as I know that probably this Millie
preached yesterday.
I didn't hear them because the phone, you know, we were getting some bad weather here yesterday, and the phone was not operating the way it should, you know, because it's a satellite system. And when they go through the clouds, it's like doing, you can't get the direct signal. So anyway, she is dealing with some stuff with her son, trying to get a place for her son, for her two sons, two of her sons, you know, because this one is a little under the weather. This one of the sons is a little under the weather, so she's working on that. And we're praying that all goes well, you know, because the enemy is very busy right now. You know, the enemy is very busy. And if you don't believe me, you look at the internet. I just got a post. Lady just sent me a post. Not this is a man. He just sent me a post. And he's from one of the African-American organization. And he just sent me a post on my messenger. And I said, wow. And this young girl, 16 years old, it didn't tell me what state she's in, though. I would have to open the page, but she's 16 years old. It's beauty, pretty African-American. She maybe look a little Latina. She got a little Latina look about her, but I would call her African-American. And she's pretty as silk, Deacon. I mean, the girl got a face for a magazine. And she's got to be somewhere down south. But they had lynched her and killed her.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
They killed her and they say that. They said that now the mother is being threatened by the police.
The mother is being threatened,
so the police probably rape her and kill her. She's a pretty girl. I mean, if I send you the picture, see, she is gorgeous. She's gorgeous, and she's grown. You know, these kids today, I don't know what they put in the food, but they look. She looked like she grown. She looked like she's a young woman. I mean, and she's a little kid. She's a kid, but we're saying here. This 16 year old, the police saying that she commit suicide. Then they're threatening her mother not to contact the media or ask.
Yeah.
Well, I did. She say, and they will not cover up the murder. So the mother contact the media. So you will see that on the television news. You know, they tell her don't contact the media. Why are you going to tell the mother when the mother knows different? She know different. The child didn't commit suicide.
No. She need to
leave. You know?
I thought they stopped that foolishness.
They ain't stopped that stuff. That stuff's still going on. That stuff's still going on, man. You still got them people out there that is stupid, man. We just had a story here. We just was watching a story. My wife was telling me, she said before, it happened here, one of the states here in Massachusetts. This boy was a little Jewish boy. He was 18 or something like that. He's going to college, 18 or 19. And he was very, very smart. But he had this thing in him that he was a girl.
Yeah.
You know, it's not how these little boys feel. They feel that they should be a girl, you know. Yeah. And some of the girls feel they should be boys, you know. Foolish stuff. Yeah. I don't know where they get that stuff from. But the enemy is tricking these kids, and then you have the government is telling them that it's okay to be this thing. You know, when you didn't come out the womb as a girl, you know. But the government is telling them that, and they're teaching them this stuff in schools now, you know. Instead of teaching them how to serve God and how to ask God to change their minds, they're teaching them how to live with this mindset that they were supposed to be a girl. And they got a penis and everything. But they have this mindset that they should be a girl. So he thought he should be a girl. And then, you know, he was very, very smart, very intelligent. And he was Jewish. So he started hook up with this guy. He said a guy that was part of the Nazis, the skinheads. And one night he came in from his job, then he came home. When he came, he was, you know, going to school and working. And he went right back out. So the mother and father know where he gone. They thought he's still inside the room. And he went to meet this guy and never come back home.
Mm-hmm.
Never come back home. The guy, number one, he had that he was Jewish, and number two, he was gay. And them skinheads and Nazis, they don't like Jews and don't like Negroes, and they don't like homosexuals.
Yeah, I think I've seen that on there. I think I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, so they kill him. They kill him and bury him. Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
People up there are wicked today. People are wicked today. I mean,
yes,
I'm not in agreement with no homosexual. I'm not in agreement with no thief. I'm not in agreement with no dope dealer, no prostitute. But I'm not going to kill none of them.
So
you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to hurt none of them.
No.
That person has a father. They have a mother. They have a husband. They have they call it.
Yeah.
They have relatives. You know what I'm saying? How are you going to kill somebody because they're not living your lifestyle? You know, I'm praying for them. I'm praying for homosexuals to come to know Christ.
Yeah.
I'm praying for them to repent and give their life to Christ. You know,
yeah.
I got a niece that's a lesbian. And every time I go to the country, man, I tell her, I said, girl, you need to change your life. You need to give your life to God. She said, I'm happy. She called me. I said, okay, I'm happy. You know, I said, but happiness not going to get you to heaven.
Sure
people
going
to go to hell happy. You hear what I'm saying? People going to go into hell happy. They're going to leave here with a smile on their face and go straight to hell.
There
ain't
going to
be no happiness in hell. And we got to let people know that. God loved the homosexual, but he don't love the sin.
That's right. That's the truth. Yeah.
And that's what we got to get that message through to them. God loved the homosexual. He loves the prostitute, but he don't love the sin. He loves the dope dealer, but he don't love the sin.
Right.
He loved the fornicator, but he don't love the sin. He loved the adulterer, but he don't love the sin. As adulterers, he don't love the sin. He loved
that's
the liar,
right.
but he don't love the sin. You know, he loved the gospel, but he don't love the sin. The main thing is that God don't love sin, and we can't love sin. David told the Lord, he said, I hate what you hate, and I love what you love. And that's the mindset that we got to get.
That's right.
God loves all people. He said in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, he said, all souls are mine, but the soul that sinneth, it shall die.
That's
the soul that sinneth shall die.
Yeah.
But all souls, because he's the one who created man and woman. All souls belongs to him. And his desire is that everyone should be saved. That's his desire. But everybody ain't going to get saved. Because, see, a lot of people fall in the world system. And the world system is set up to deceive. Even with the government we got right now, it's a deceive. Because they're in sanction. They're sanctioning sin. The government we got right now is sanctioning sin. They're for everything that's evil and making it sound good. And they're making you sound, they want unity. They don't want unity. They want more division than anything that's in the world. They thought, well, be for unity. Be for unity. No, don't believe it. See if it lined up with the word of God. If it lined up with the word of God, then they're for unity. But you still got to pray for the president. Because the Bible says you got to pray for everyone in authority. You got to pray for every power that's in power is in power because of God. You got to pray for every power. I don't care what they're doing. You got to pray for them because your prayer might convict them. Your prayer might go into the bedroom that nighttime and change their heart. Because this prayer has a spirit. The prayer is like a spirit. It goes into that bedroom. It goes into that place and change their way of thinking. You know? But we thank God for you. Go ahead, Deacon, and pray. Go ahead, Deacon, and pray before you go back to work. Pray for everybody.
Yeah. Did my mother call you? She call you, see you.
No, she ain't prayer. She ain't call me yet. She wants to come out. She wants to come in this side.
Yeah.
And we'll bring two messages this side. If she come in this side, we'll bring two messages. She will bring one, and Mr. Unde will bring one. Go ahead.
Okay.
Send me a text.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you, Heavenly Father. Oh, Heavenly Father, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we want to praise you. We thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, we give you right now in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. We pray, we thank you right now, Heavenly Father. We ask you right now, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you to lift up on this call on today, Heavenly Father. Lord, lift up on this church line, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray right now that the words that was received on the Father, Lord, we pray that those that came that did not, well, then were able to come, but we know, Heavenly Father, your word went forward, Heavenly Father. We praise you and we thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, we praise your name, Heavenly Father. We pray right now in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. We ask you right now to use this man of God. Lord, here's your servant, Heavenly Father. Lord, use him, Lord, but use him before, Heavenly Father. We pray right now to lift him up. Lord, continue to cover him with your power, your blood, Heavenly Father. Lord, give him more than hearts. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. Lord, we praise you and we honor you and we praise you, Heavenly Father. We pray right now in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. We ask you right now in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. Oh, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Heavenly Father. We ask you right now, lift up his children. Lift up his grandchildren, his grandson, Heavenly Father. Lord, lift up, Lord, lift him up, Heavenly Father. Lord, lift up his son, Heavenly Father. Lord, continue to use him, man. Lord, lift him up, Heavenly Father. Lord, continue to strengthen him, Heavenly Father. Lord, you do a greater, Lord, when you do a greater work when you release man of God out of prison, Heavenly Father. We pray, Heavenly Father, he'll come, have that right mind, Heavenly Father, that he will come, he'll do the thing that what you ask him to do, Heavenly Father. Lord, he will obey your word, Heavenly Father, your command, Heavenly Father. We pray right now in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. We ask you right now to lift everything that was anything in his life, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we ask you to touch those all over the world, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray lift up the truth. Lord, lift them up. Lift everything that's all over in Gadistan, Heavenly Father. We pray around, lift up around Jerusalem, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray, look all over there. So much happening all over the world, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you to,
yes,
we ask you to lift them up, Heavenly Father. We pray right now, lift up the young people, the young lady who lost the 16-year-old, lost her life, Heavenly Father.
Yes, please, pray, yes.
We lift up the family, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray continue to touch the family, touch the mom, the mother, and dad, Heavenly Father. Lord, lift up their family, whatever they're dealing with right now, Heavenly Father. We pray right now, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we ask you to lift up all over what's happening. We lift up the young man took his life, the person that shot him, Heavenly Father. We look all around Miami, Florida, Heavenly Father, what that's the father won't justice who shot the police that shot. The shot is fun. Heavenly Father. Lord, continue to strengthen the young man. Strengthen the father, Heavenly Father. Lord, strengthen him, Heavenly Father. We pray that though there's so much happening all over in Florida and California, Illinois, we just pray, Heavenly Father, lift up all over the world, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you to lift up the young people, Heavenly Father. We lift up
the
young people. Young babies, Heavenly Father. Young kids, Heavenly Father. We ask you to lift up the grandparents, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray lift up the grandfathers and the dads, Heavenly Father. Lift up the young people, Heavenly Father. Lord, we lift up the elders on the streets, those on drugs, those prostituting, Heavenly Father. Those on adultery, fornication. We pray, Heavenly Father, only you love them. You love them, Heavenly Father. You love them. You hate the sin. And we pray, Heavenly Father. We lift up the game bangers that is on the street. We pray right now, Heavenly Father. We ask you to lift them up. Lord, we lift up the Lord. We ask you to pray, lift up in the White House, Heavenly Father. We pray to touch his mind. Lord, continue to touch President Joe Biden. Lord, continue to touch him, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you to lift up Senator Harris, Heavenly Father. We pray to lift up her husband, her children, Heavenly Father. We pray right now, oh Heavenly Father. We ask you right now to continue to strengthen Bishop James Washington, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you to lift up his wife. He's standing in the gap for his wife, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray touch every tissue, every ligament, every bone in his body. Lord, we pray touch him, Heavenly Father. Lord, crown him from his soul to his feet, Heavenly Father. We pray lift up his children, Heavenly Father. grandchildren, niece, uncles, and nephews, Heavenly Father. We pray right now in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. We pray right now, Heavenly Father, that lift up Slida, Louisiana, Heavenly Father. Lord, lift up community in Louisiana community. Lord, we pray, lift up, be standing God for Apostle Linda Washington and wherever she might be, Heavenly Father. Lord, continue to lift up her son, Peter, and Dorian, Heavenly Father. Lift up Minister Sion, Heavenly Father. Lord, she come from my job, home, come from my job and travel. Grace and mercy, Heavenly Father. We pray in the name of you continue to touch Minister Sion and her family. Lift up her husband. We pray in the name of you, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray continue to use the Minister Sion, Heavenly Father. Lord, continue to cover her with your power, your blood, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray right now in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. We pray, lift up Prophetess Misha, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father, continue to touch Prophetess. Crown her head, crown her from head to her soul to her feet, Heavenly Father. We bind up that candle in her body. We bind it up right now. We bind it up right now. We pray, continue to touch her Prophetess Misha and her family, Heavenly Father. We pray right now, Heavenly Father, lift it up. In the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray.
Hallelujah. Maybe Deacon drop out. And Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for the word. Praying and thank you for Apostle Stuart was on the line. He just dropped off. We thank God for the word that went forth. And thank you for Mother Grant for the praying. Thank you for a son that is facing the surgery. Lord, we know all is going to go well because you said so, Lord. And Father, we just lift up Apostle Linda Washington and Bishop James Washington and Prophetess Millie Jefferson and Misha Fisher, Lord, we lift up Darlene, Evangelist Darlene Campbell, Evangelist Brown, Evangelist Tina, Sheila. Lord, we lift up all those ministers on their buttons. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, and Deacon Fraser. Lord, we thank you, God, for his mother. He's going to bring a word for us on Saturday along with Minister But, Mr. Lord, we just thank God for your word, Lord. We just thank you for your mercy and grace, Lord. We thank you for pouring out on us today, Lord, and let us know that we have to focus on taking care of the sheep, Lord. It's all about the sheep because we are just watchmen for the sheep till you come to receive your sheep, oh God. Lord, we just pray today as we leave this line but not your presence, that your grace and mercy will continue to overshadow us, that you continue to pour out on us and pour in us, O God, all that we desire today from you, Lord. As always, God, we ask you to empower us to do more for the kingdom, O God, for we are kingdom builders. We have the mind of the kingdom builder, Lord God, because we have been in touch with you, Lord. Lord, we ask, O God, that your grace, that you, O God, cause us to prosper, O God, for your desire that we would prosper and be in health, even as our soul prosper, Lord. We ask, O God, that you continue to bless us. You said the blessing of the Lord make it rich, and you add no sorrows to us. So, Father, we thank you today. We thank you today that you give us power to get wealth to establish your covenant. And, O God, we pray, God, that no weapons formed against us will prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment, God, we condemn them right now in the name of Jesus. You said that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard for us, for this is the heritage of the saints, O God. We just pray, God. We're praying right now, God, that you bless us in the city, bless us in the field. Bless us when we come, O God, and bless us when we go. Continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath, O God. We're praying right now, God, that you continue to make us the lenders and not the borrowers. And because you are our God, because you are our Savior, God, we are already victorious, O God. We have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been delivered, O God, by your nail prints, your piercing side, the blood and water that flowed out your side, the crown that was placed upon your head, the ears, the blood that came down your brow. God, we have been cleansed. We have been delivered. We have been restored. We are healed. Oh, God, we have the victory, God. We are more than conquerors. Oh, Almighty God, we just thank you right now. We praise your holy name. Oh, Father, as we leave this line, we ask you to let the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. Maybe the word that you speak today in somebody's ear gate that will make all the difference in their lives. It may stop someone from committing suicide. It may stop someone from committing murder. Even stop someone from kidnapping a child, raping a child, or sodomizing a child. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. He said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. And that just means that the characteristics of Jesus Christ will be seen in your life. And the attributes of Jesus Christ will be seen in your life. Everything about Jesus will be seen in your life. Let the light shine and let people see Jesus in you. God bless you all. I thank you all for coming on today. Have a blessed evening, a safe evening. And remember, if you got to go, they say no, you don't have to wear your mask, but use common sense. If you go places that you don't feel safe, always keep your mask with you. Put your mask on. Understand? Even if you have gotten the vaccine, protect yourself. The life you save may be yours. I love you guys and have a good day. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Have a blessed day.
All right. Thank you. Love you guys. Bye-bye.